is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Town meeting day is getting closer, and among the things community members will be considering in some towns, like Fairhaven and Bennington, is whether or not they want to add a municipal tax on sales, rooms, meals, and/or alcohol. It's called a local option tax, and 20 towns are currently collecting taxes on some or all of these things over and above state taxes. Manchester was the first Vermont town to implement this tax back in 1999. Today on the program, we're going to look at what the local option tax is and how it's worked out for communities who have one. We'll get the perspective of Manchester, but also Winooski, which is less than a year into its local option tax. And we'll talk with two people in Bennington on opposite sides of this debate. But first, here with a preview of what this tax is and how it works is Craig Bolio, Commissioner of the Vermont Department of Taxes. Commissioner, welcome to the program.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
So I gave sort of my basic understanding of what the local option tax is. Anything I missed or anything you would add to what a local option tax is?
I think you nailed most of it. It is an additional 1% that towns can choose to impose on a variety of goods. And so it can be on sales, the base of sales tax. It can be on the base of meals and alcohol or the base of rooms. That is above and beyond the existing sales tax and meals and rooms taxes that exist that go to the state.
Not all of the tax that is collected goes directly to the municipality, though.
I think that's a good clarification question. 70% of the money goes directly to a fund that is distributed to the municipalities where the local option tax was collected. The remaining 30% goes to what's called the pilot special fund. And the pilot fund is for payment in lieu of taxes. And this is for places where the state owns buildings or property mostly and does not pay municipal taxes. So many of the state buildings in Montpelier, for instance, fall into that. And so those 30%, the 30% of those funds are still distributed to municipalities, just not through the same mechanism. There is
And it could be distributed to any municipality?
A municipality that gets payments in lieu of taxes because of those that property.
So if your town doesn't have a local option tax, but it does have state property, it could see some of that money from the pilot program,
though
it doesn't have a local option tax.
That's right.
That gets sort of distributed throughout the state.
Yep.
Okay.
The state does retain a $5.96 per return fee that's set in statute. And that is because while the tax is imposed by the towns, it's collected by local businesses and then sent to the tax department for distribution to the municipalities. So the tax department retains $5.96 per return per municipality.
What does that actually mean? We don't need to get too into the weeds on this, but that $5+ per return, how much money is in a return? Is that per, if it's the sales tax, for example, would that be a store owner, sending in the taxes? Or how much money are we talking about with that return fee?
Overall, it's less than $1 million a year. It's between $500,000 and $1 million per year that's collected in fees. I think it's probably closer to about $700,000. And so that is if you're a business owner and you are filing your return and reporting a local option tax, that will be a $5.96 fee. You do not pay it as the business owner.
The state takes it out.
Okay. That's right. It's taken out of the funds that are distributed to the municipality.
So does that actually net the state some money then?
Well, we use it to fund the operations, and frankly, fees are always supposed to be reflective of what the actual costs are for administering
it.
So the tax department tries to make sure that it's properly calibrated.
So the local option tax, this 1% tax over and above state and federal taxes that some municipalities have, it's been in effect for a little more than 20 years now. Why was it something that was desired and then that the state said, sure, we're willing to implement this?
Oh, I'm actually not sure if I'm the expert on all of the history on this, but this was part of Act 60 in 1997. And I think it's a mechanism that allows towns to raise additional revenue. And many towns find that to be an attractive option.
Yeah, I mean, it's an attractive option if you're a community that has restaurants and maybe a hotel, or now we collect taxes on Airbnb and other kinds of programs like that where people might be selling rooms, or if you have a lot of retail sales. It's probably not an appealing option for a community that has no restaurants, no Airbnb, no hotels, and no retail establishments.
Yeah, I certainly think it's a more challenging proposition in the latter description that you have. But I also think with online commerce, you know, things are changing. And that's a local decision for towns and municipalities to think about, right? If they don't have a large tourism center, it's going to be their own citizens who are paying that additional tax. And so I think that's a decision that has to be made at the local level. But yeah, as you describe, if you get a lot of tourism and folks coming from outside your town, I think those towns do find it more attractive.
Just got a note from Mark, who shares a similar perspective, writing, local option taxes are great if your community has the ability to attract dollars from people coming there from other towns, cities, and states. Places like Colchester and Williston are good examples because they attract people from all over for access to Lake Champlain, St. Michael's College, shopping at Mapletree Place, and the box stores there, and all the restaurants, Airbnbs, and lodgings nearby. For those who don't know, these are both Chittenden County communities. And Mark says, for localities that don't have the draw, this local option tax is only going to siphon more money primarily from only the local residents who are already subject to the local taxes. Commissioner Beaulieu, you just mentioned that things are changing with online shopping, and that may be a point that we want to clarify here as we talk about the local option tax, because as I was looking into it, it's a destination-based tax, as in it's for the municipality that you're in. But now that there is so much online shopping, that also applies, doesn't it, to things that are delivered to your address if you live within one of those communities.
Totally correct, yes. It's where the product is consumed or used or delivered. So, you know, the traditional sense of that becoming quirky was if you're a pizza place in Middlesex and you were delivering to Montpelier or something, you would have to collect the local option tax for where it was delivered. But now with so much commerce happening online and things just getting delivered straight to your home, that's been a big change in the landscape as well.
We're talking with Craig Beaulieu, Commissioner of the Vermont Department of Taxes, but we're also going to check in with some communities that are either thinking about this or have done it, have added a local option tax, including Winooski, which is the most recent town to do so. But let's first talk with the very first community that implemented a local option tax. That was Manchester, which did it back in 1999. John O'Keefe is the current town manager for the town of Manchester, and he's with us now to tell us a little bit about how it's worked out there. Hi, John. Nice to talk with you.
Thanks, Jane. Thanks for having me on the show.
So Manchester actually implemented the tax in 1999. It went into effect in 1999. So you're more than 20 years in now. All in all, a good thing, do you think, for Manchester?
Yeah, I think the general, actually the strong consensus from town officials is that it's been a real good thing for Manchester. We adopted it in 99, like you said, first the sales tax piece, and that was in reaction to Act 60 and the impacts that Act 60, the statewide education funding formula, was going to have on the community. You know, we've since its inception here, we've collected $22.3 million in local option taxes, for the community, so over $1 million a year, and we generally get about 20% of the revenue that we spend each year from the local option tax.
You generally get about 20% of the revenue. What do you mean by that?
So, from all the revenue that we spend in a given year.
I see.
You know, for the last year on record, about $5.5 million in the general fund was the revenue that we took in. Based on
Got
the expenses
it.
That we also had. So we're taking in over $1 million a year, generally speaking. And those numbers are really, really high, you know, both based on the size of our economy. We have a really big economy for the number of people that we have. Manchester has less than 4,400 people.
So what do you think that you can do with that money that you wouldn't be able to do if Manchester didn't have a local option sales tax?
I think we have a good blend of, so we do respond to a lot of the needs of local citizens and to the people that are coming into our community every day for, you know, for example, employment. We have more jobs in Manchester than we actually have residents. So we've got a huge influx of people coming into work each day, plus the visitor base that we have year round. So we're able to do that. We have a full-time police department with 9 officers. We've got a very, very built out park system. You know, our main park in town is almost 100 acres. And then also we've kept our taxes really low on the municipal side. Last year on record, we had the 17th lowest tax rate in the state of Vermont, in of the 16 towns that were lower, 10 of them had less than 1,000 residents.
So, you know, the state auditor, Doug Hoffer, would hate this question from me because there's no way to prove the absence of something. But do you think having the local option tax that Manchester does allows the community to be more appealing, to appeal to people who want to move to Manchester because of that low tax rate, because of the parks and the police department and all of the things that you're able to offer?
We are investing a lot. You know, just like the rest of Vermont, we have an upside down population pyramid. And we recognize, you know, when we have new people move to town, we ask them, and it's a couple things. It's education opportunities. We've got a very strong educational system here, but also the amenities that we have. You know, we've got a new library that's among the best in the state, and our park system is really top-notch. We just built a new skate park, for example. So we are responding to that, and, you know, in today's economy, you have to be very competitive trying to draw in, trying to maintain your current residents, but also trying to attract new ones. Same thing with business, too. We've been able to win businesses coming to Manchester over other communities because we've showed them time and time again that our low tax rate is not just a mistake, that it's something that we've maintained over a long period of time.
And, John, Manchester implemented the local option tax on sales in 1999, and since then it has also added the rooms and meals and alcohol taxes as well. So do you think all four work in conjunction, or do you see differences in you know, for communities that may be thinking about this in implementing a sales tax versus a rooms and meals tax?
We've seen, so over the years, we were originally, I think our high water mark on the sales tax was it was $1.2 million a year back in 2005. And since then, two things have impacted our revenues. One is the streamlined sales tax initiative, which took off taxation on clothing. Manchester is home to a lot of clothing outlets and different clothing retailers. So that really impacted our sales. And, of course, the recession of 2007 and now online shopping. Shopping is still strong. Sales is still strong. You know, we've got enough of a diverse economy, I think, that we're able to weather those storms, too. But one thing we've seen is we've seen big increases on the meals, rooms, and alcohol side, sometimes 10% over the same quarter in the previous year. So we are seeing a lot more increase in the meals, rooms, and alcohol tax compared to shopping. It seems like more people are coming to Manchester and staying overnight, eating out, and then also doing some shopping as well.
Before we let you go, John, anything that you think is a downside to the local option tax that you also think communities should be considering as they decide whether or not to implement this?
I was here for the most recent debates, the meals, rooms, and alcohol piece. It was interesting. We adopted the meals and rooms first, or the meals and alcohol first, and then at the subsequent town meeting, later approved the rooms tax, which I thought was interesting because local residents are more likely to pay the meals and alcohol tax versus the rooms tax. So I think some of it is, you know, first off, I think it works really well for towns that have a very big out-of-town visitor base and need to offset some of those costs, or hub communities, of course, that have a lot of people coming to their community. But as you and the commissioner had noted, you know, there's some towns that just don't have enough commerce probably to balance out, you know, what it takes to put the tax in versus, you know, basically cost and benefit. So I don't think it's right for every community. It just happened to really work well for Manchester, and it's worked well for us since 1999.
That's John O'Keefe, the town manager for Manchester, which was the first community to implement a local option tax back in 1999. John, thanks for telling us a little bit about how it's gone in the town of Manchester.
Thank you.
Charlie writes, we've thought a lot about this in Montgomery as a means of supporting economic development, specifically looking at a local option tax around rooms, and especially as it relates to Airbnbs and other vacation rentals by owners, as we've seen a huge increase in rental units locally. In looking into this, we heard that the agreement with the state made with Airbnb in order to collect the straight 9% state rooms tax, Vermont gave up any ability to audit revenues from the company. In other words, we have no ability to track revenue coming from this as a means to ensure accuracy or to calculate what could be generated by this should a community institute a local option tax. Is this true? Well, happily, we have Tax Commissioner Craig Bolio here helping us guide our way through this conversation. What about Charlie's question? Commissioner?
Yeah, I'm happy to speak to that. So actually, it'll lead into another interesting thing, I think, that's just the some of the changing landscape with the underlying taxes that are intertwined with local option tax. So Act 71 of 2019 last year actually categorized online travel agents as rooms operators. So those short-term rental platforms and online travel agent platforms are now required to collect and remit the tax on behalf of hosts and hotels that they service with. Just to clarify, you know, there had been an agreement with Airbnb prior to that legislation that Airbnb voluntarily offered to collect and remit the tax. I would not say that it was accurate that the state gave up all audit rights, but there had been a provision, I believe, to be able to look at books every 3 years. And so now the new legislation doesn't have any of those limitations either. They're an operator just like everybody else. I would say that I think that the questioner had an interesting point that's a challenge for us in terms of towns who are looking at doing this, which is a fair challenge, which is that if they don't have a local option tax and you are a large company that's reporting to the tax department, we don't have town-by-town breakdowns of all of the sales that are being delivered from online platforms into specific communities. And so that can create challenges for communities trying to estimate this. I think that that's a challenge that we've heard about. We try to do our best in estimating, but we felt that pain as well.
Let's talk to one of the communities that is considering adding a local option tax. The town of Bennington is thinking about this, and Stuart Hurd is on the line with us now. Stuart is the town manager for the town of Bennington. Hi, Stuart. Nice to
Hi,
hear
Jay.
From you. Hi. So why is Bennington thinking about doing this?
Well, actually, we've been looking at the local option tax issue for a long, long time. Historically, we are what's called a receiving town, and the commissioner referred to Act 60, which looked at gold towns and gave them an opportunity to, because they paid more in state education taxes than they received, they were allowed to do this to offset some of the losses that they were seeing because they were actually funding education statewide. Bennington as a receiving town was not one of those communities that was identified. And so I've been working personally for a long time with Senator Sears to try to get that legislation changed. Ultimately, last year we went through a charter review process, added the language to our charter, and the House and Senate approved it. So we now, through our charter, have the opportunity to institute the local option taxes that we've been discussing here today.
And what kinds of questions or community response are you getting?
Well, many people, business community certainly, they want to know that because we have been talking, we've just in fact started in the last year a marketing campaign for the community. They want to know that some of these funds are going to go to marketing. The residents, property owners, those that I've talked to anyway, want to know that some of this is going to go to property tax reduction. We have a number of capital projects and capital purchases that we're looking at that are now placed into the general and highway fund budgets. Some of it then causes us to carry debt because we're borrowing the money through the state highway fund. These kinds of things, we can pull those purchases and that debt out of the budget and essentially reduce the overall budget and thereby, of course, reduce the amount to be raised by taxes. There are some people that are just adamantly opposed because it's another tax.
Well, speaking of which, we have somebody who is opposed to this, so I want to bring her in so that we can get a picture here of what the conversation is like in Bennington. Colleen Harrington is a candidate for Bennington's Select Board and does oppose this local option tax and is on the line with us now. Colleen, thanks for joining us on this conversation. Nice to have you with us.
Nice to be here with you, too.
So Stuart mentioned that some people are opposed to this tax, the local option tax, and for some people it's just because yet one more tax is not something that you feel like the community can withstand. Is that your position? Is that why you oppose this, Colleen?
Well, some of that is definitely true, and I just feel that Manchester and Bennington, there's a gross disparity between the two. Manchester is certainly a tourism-driven town, and Bennington just no longer gets that influx of tourism. We're having Camelot Village just closed down, and there's businesses all over town, and I just don't think at this point in time that Bennington has got enough information to move forward with implementing a local option tax. We're just a few weeks away from the election, and the select board, I don't feel, has educated voters on why we need another tax, and they keep promising that money will come from this tax, but there's no indication in writing how they're going to spend it, and it's just going into a bucket, and it'll be used at their discretion, and people in Bennington just aren't comfortable with that, especially with some projects that were questionable with monies being spent, such as a $454,000 salt shed. And we just feel that the mismanagement of the funds, and perhaps we should look at more fiscal responsibility instead of adding another tax. And, you know, the tax is certainly a regressive tax because it taxes consumption and it doesn't make any exceptions based on income or ability to pay. And I believe in Bennington, the bulk of this tax will come from the community, not from outside tourism.
So, Colleen, on something, my understanding of the way it's going to be voted on in Bennington is that you're actually voting on all four types of tax. So on sales, on rooms and meals and alcohol, which it gets confusing because in some ways those are not always broken up, but sometimes they are. But so are some more amenable? Are you more amenable to some than others, Colleen? I mean, if you think of something like a rooms tax where it's only being taxed on people who are spending the night in the community, that may not impact townspeople in the same way.
And that would make a difference, but that's really, I don't think, how it's going to be done. And I think, yes, it's broken into four buckets, but the money still will be used at the discretion of the select board in the town.
So, Stuart Hurd, how do you respond?
Well, Colleen is somewhat right and somewhat not correct. The select board is actually, by the time we're at the floor meeting and moving towards the election, will have held four public discussions about how it plans to use the funds. It does plan to develop a policy which will, on an annual basis, allow the public and the board to have a conversation about how the funds for the coming year will be utilized so that we know what the impact will be on our budget as we develop it. We're actually trying to come up with a proposal this year because the tax, if it's voted in any form, really will not be available to us until September and the remaining three quarters. So we won't really know how that full impact will be, but we're looking at trying to set out percentages of how the whatever funds we are able to collect will be used to impact this year's budget as well. So the board is cognizant of the fact that there are people who are concerned about the fact that it's just another tax. But Bennington is very, very much like Manchester. In sales alone, we figure to generate close to $1.1 million, somewhere in that range. Meals and rooms and alcohol are all somewhat less, but if you combine meals and rooms and alcohol taxes from the most recent fiscal year, which is fiscal year 19, they total over $400,000 that could come to Bennington after looking at the 70%, the 30% that goes back to the state. And Bennington also benefits in this regard because we are a pilot community. We house the state state court system here. We house a number of historic sites, the Battle Monument for one, which is owned by the state. So we've already received what are called pilot payments, and they help offset the need to raise taxes. Those payments will be able to be increased, and so we'll get, in a sense, a double benefit from the money that is raised through the option tax. And I think, and this is, you know, it's hard to speculate, but Bennington is a hub community, and John referred to the hub community as a potential benefiter from this kind of a tax. We bring people into Bennington to shop from eastern Rensselaer County in New York, probably southeastern Saratoga County in New York, from the towns of Shaftesbury, Arlington, certainly Woodford, and points south, Williamstown, Mass, and other points south. So we're right in the corner of southwestern Vermont, and there are a lot of people that come here to shop. We provide the facilities. We provide the infrastructure, the roads, the water, the sewer, to make all of this available to people. And we believe that they will contribute to the income that this tax will provide. And
well, Stuart, let me stop you there because I want to get another thought in here. And Colleen, I want to thank you. We have another call coming in from Bennington. So I'm going to say goodbye to you, and we're going to see what this other question is. Colleen Harrington is a candidate for Bennington's Select Board, and as we've heard, opposes a local option tax in the town. Colleen, thank you very much for being part of the conversation.
Thank you. Yep.
And let's go to Sam, who, as I mentioned, is calling in from Bennington. Sam, what's your perspective or question?
Oh, I hear a lot of perspective. This is about as popular as when Bennington had the question, shall we go to a mayor vote? I mean, we've got growing pains down here. I reiterate what Colleen has said and Stu has said. It's just that I am appalled that there's not more engagement from the residents of Bennington. We don't get that great voter turnout, but this is a very serious issue, and it's just like a family when you run a business. Okay, we got $1 million. How do you want to spend it? I mean, it's one thing of saying on the ballot that, okay, we want to propose 1%, but the dominant question is, or statement is, the unanswered question is, how we want to spend this money, where it's going to go, and definitely this will fly if property taxes have relief. You know, everybody is getting hit with property taxes. Everybody wants relief. You may get relief one year, and next year it'll go right back up again. I mean, we've got the POFA issues. We've got other business projects that have come forth. We've rebuilt our wastewater treatment plant. We got bridges that have to come into play, the one on bridge number 6, which is state-funded. We've got another bridge that is a local bridge, which is Depot Street, that hasn't even been talked about yet and tabled. So we've got a lot of growing pains here in Bennington, and if you're trying to compare Bennington with Manchester, yes, Manchester has the workforce, yes, Manchester has the tourism. We're a bruised puppy here in Bennington as far as the workforce, and
So, Sam, I want to stop you there because you're bringing up such interesting topics, and I want to, Stuart, we just have a couple seconds left with you, but, you know, one of the things that Sam is talking about here is there are all of these issues and all of these things that are so important to Manchester, to Bennington, and to its future, and yet Sam also says so few people are engaging on this, at least from his perspective, and that is a big issue in town meeting day always, and in civic engagement, and this question of something as complicated as, you know, all of these finances, and it sort of can make people's eyes glaze over. How do you make sure that people in Bennington care and know enough to make an informed decision on town meeting day?
Yeah, I mean, that's the point. That's the point of the effort that the Select Board has undertaken over these last 6 weeks is to get the word out, to let people know what we're doing. Our meetings are televised by the local PEG Access. Obviously, we're covered by the local paper, Bennington Banner. We are posting all of the information that we're developing on our website so that people who have access to the web can actually come onto the website at their convenience and read about what we're proposing and what we're talking about. And just to address some of Sam's infrastructure needs that we have, if in fact we don't have the local option tax to draw from, Those funds will come from property taxes principally. There may be some grants and aid that may be available to us to assist us, but it will be principally on the backs of the property taxpayer to do those things that we know we need to do. We're not blind to the fact that Bennington has infrastructure needs and infrastructure concerns, and that's one of the reasons we're looking at this tax and believing that it can not only reduce property taxes by some percent, but it also can allow us to reduce the debt from borrowing and then allow us to develop capital reserve funds so that when these major projects come along, we don't have to look to the taxpayer.
I'm going to leave it there for now because this is so interesting, and it's interesting to have insight into all of the considerations going on in Bennington, but I want to get one more perspective in here. So, Stuart, let me leave it there with you and thank you for your time and helping us understand why this is a complicated and, in some cases, difficult decision for people in Bennington. Thanks for your time with us.
Well, thank you.
Stuart Hurd is the town manager for the town of Bennington, which is considering a local option tax, and residents will be able to vote on town meeting day on that issue. One more voice in here for just a second. Christine Lott is the mayor of the city of Winooski, and Winooski is really new to this local option tax game and just started collecting in July of 2019. Christine, thank you very much for being with us. Mayor Lott, it's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So, going well so far, 6 or 7 months in for Winooski?
I would say, yeah. We anticipate raising more revenue in the local options tax than we had initially estimated. Residents have been relatively quiet on the matter, I think because there was time leading up to it and communication about it. We had a 63% approval when we did put this on last town meeting day's ballot. So I would say things are going pretty well.
And in terms of other communities, you were listening here as we were having this conversation about Bennington. Any advice for places like Bennington, places like Fairhaven that are thinking about this that you maybe wish you had known a year and a half ago?
Well, I think we did a lot of effort reaching out to the business community, knowing that they're the ones who are going to, these taxes are increasing what they are charging their patrons. We also did public outreach. I think one thing that I would recommend is in that public outreach to residents, being clear about how this applies. You mentioned earlier how this is a destination tax. So I think some folks didn't understand the implications to online sales. And additionally, we've been very clear that we want to use this revenue for capital investments, and in doing so, we're offsetting their cost in property taxes to keep that infrastructure in shape.
Well, it's all interesting, and just a flavor there from Winooski, from Mayor Lott, Christine Lott, the mayor of the city of Winooski. Thanks very much for sharing your thoughts with us.
Thank you for having me.
Craig Beaulieu, Commissioner of the Department of Taxes, anything else that we should know before we leave this topic and move on to the next?
I think you've heard a lot of the lively debate that happens on this topic. I think that it's going to continue to be an interesting topic moving forward. We've heard from, I think, 16 towns over the last few months with varying levels of seriousness about just basic inquiry. What does this look like versus it's going to be on the ballot? So just a heads up for you guys. I think that the changing online commerce landscape does a lot for that, right? The marketplace legislation of last year that really expanded more online sales collections is just going to keep making this an interesting topic. And I also just want to shout out all the great staff that we have at the tax department. We collect this tax and 29 others, and we collect almost $2 billion a year with 150 people. Tax season is gearing up. I know people will be eager for their refunds. And just we have a great, talented, dedicated staff, and a shout out to them.
Well, I appreciate you being with us. That's Craig Beaulieu, Commissioner of the Vermont Department of Taxes. Thanks.